From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Award-winning and best-selling author Rosie Dannon is back with her latest novel, Do Your Worst. Entertainment Weekly writes, quote, "If you're looking for an Indiana Jones meets enemies to lovers meets supernatural rom-com, then this book is for you," unquote. We're lucky enough to have Rosie joining us today to chat more. Rosie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So can you just start out by giving us kind of a brief synopsis of this latest novel?
Yeah, I'll try to live up to that Entertainment Weekly blurb, which is quite a nice summary. But Do Your Worst is about an aspiring curse breaker, Riley Rhodes, and a disgraced archaeologist, Clark Edgware, who find themselves unknowingly accepting conflicting assignments at the same infamous Scottish castle. And they get into a lot of different hijinks. They're both looking for professional redemption. And it seems like maybe the castle has its own agenda. So it was a pleasure to write, and I hope it'll be a pleasure to read.
Okay, so I have to ask, how in the world did you come up with this idea for this latest book?
You know, it's funny. I feel like for not a very serious book, it has a little bit of a serious answer to that question. Uh-huh. In that I think that the pandemic played a big role in wanting to write about a curse, in the sense that, you know, I don't know about you guys, but during the pandemic, I was really frustrated. It felt like there were these sort of like unknowable forces that were working against me in the life that I had planned to have during that time. And I think while a curse can feel oppressive, there's also something really inherently hopeful about a curse, because it can be broken, right? There's a way out. Mm-hmm. And often in folklore and fairy tales, curses are broken by everyday people. And so I think that was really a story that I was interested in digging into. And I think at the same time, I was looking for escapism and a world that was not quite our own. And I kind of turned to some of my favorite sort of, you know, early 2000s paranormal programming, whether it was like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Charmed or, you know, The Mummy. And I just thought that kind of adventure really cut through, especially when I was, you know, trapped in my house for a lot of the time I was writing.
So, you know, you kind of mentioned those early 2000s, right? Like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Mummy. Have you always been interested like in the paranormal, or was this something, you know, kind of new to you?
So my first two books are contemporary, so they don't have any paranormal elements. And that was really fun. But I think when I, you know, sometimes when I'm looking for a new book idea, my next project, I will make a list of all my favorite stories, and I will look back through them and I'll say, what drew me to that? Like what might be fun to reconsider or to play with, whether it's like a trope or a setting. And I realized that, yeah, maybe it's nostalgia and like the age that I'm at, but a lot of my favorite things, like I could go on and on, like Charmed, all of that stuff, was just really appealing to me. I think it, and again, I think it has this empowering narrative sense, because it's our world, but you can change the rules.
Well, and you know, speaking of Charmed, and I kind of feel like this about this latest book of yours, is that those main female characters are super strong, right? And you talk about empowerment, you know, they have that. And that kind of feels like that in this book as well. I mean, did you take from that, you know, from maybe being inspired by certain characters when you were in the writing process of this book?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I sort of saw this only in hindsight, but, you know, The Mummy is one of my favorite adventure romances. And I do think, you know, Evie, who's one of the protagonists in The Mummy, is a really strong character, but she has sort of a traditional feminine role in that she's sort of repressed and she's a librarian, and the sort of swashbuckling hero falls to like the Brendan Fraser character. And I think what Do Your Worst I sort of did almost subconsciously is flip those sort of gender roles. And so I wanted Riley, my heroine, to be the sort of like reckless adventurer who, you know, has something to prove. And I thought like, okay, let Clark be the academic who really likes to play by the rules and who has a lot of almost trauma in terms of what people expect from him. So I think totally, like, being able to let my heroine sort of jump off the page and make a lot of mistakes, because she does, in terms of how to break a curse. Like, there's a lot of trial and error here. She's sort of the only one doing this. but I think that's where a lot of the fun and the chaos that you see on the page comes from.
Yeah. So I want to go back to your debut rom-com, The Roommate, because this exploded. I mean, the accolades for this book, how popular it was. Did you have, any idea as you were writing this book, or even frankly, when it was first published, that it would take off like this?
Definitely not. In fact, I had been working on this in a writer's group, The Roommate. I was working on it in an early draft in a writer's group. And we had a sort of instructor who was a successful romance novelist who had, a lot of titles out. And I remember her distinctly saying, like, hey, you're probably not going to be able to publish this. Like, just so you know, like, I think it's a pretty fun story, but like, probably no one is going to buy this. And I was like, okay, you know what? At that point, I was like, I think this story is funny and I'm having a nice time and I just want to kind of get it out of me. But I was really pleasantly surprised when, like, not only did somebody, a publisher want to put it out in the world, but then other people wanted to read it. It's kind of all been delightful. So maybe that's like the takeaway here is, like, if you go in with really low expectations, publishing can be delightful.
Okay, but your works have now been optioned for film. Yes, you must dream about that, right? But what has this whole process for you been like in the last couple of years? I mean, barring the pandemic, right? But just to have this kind of recognition for your work.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. And it is really tied to the pandemic because, The Roommate came out in September of 2020. And then my second book, The Intimacy Experiment, came out in April of 2021. And so Do Your Worst is the first time that I'm getting to do sort of some of the traditional author dream things, whether it's like going on tour and things like that. So the good thing about debut is you don't know what you don't know. So everything is just kind of like, feels amazing. The first time that I found out I was going to be reviewed in the New York Times, like I just cried. It was just, you just have these dreams and you don't know. I think a lot of writing for somebody who grew up loving books, it feels like a dream come true. And that's so like cliche to say, but it feels like that a lot of the time, which is good because the actual writing part can be really painful. So you got to balance it out.
So what draws you to writing rom-com? And I ask that because I love reading this genre and I think it has kind of gotten, I think there's sometimes a lack of respect for these types of books because, we should be reading these, very cerebral, very deep books. And I'm like, I think there's a time and a place for that. But I love picking up a good book that I can just read and enjoy and frankly, escape from, everyday life. So I'm just curious about have you always liked this type of book? And is that kind of where you just felt your niche was?
Yeah. I've always loved romance and gravitated towards stories with romance, whether that was in TV or movies or books. But growing up, you're totally right. I think there was like a lot of stigma about the romance as a genre. And I remember, being really grateful when ebooks came out because I could kind of read those on my Kindle on the train or whatever. And nobody knew that I, loved romance novels. But as an adult and as a writer, I'm like, that is so, I don't know if you can say bull, but it's just really sad to me in hindsight that I let what other people thought dictate what I enjoyed. And so I think the reason that romance is so sells so well and why so many people feel really passionate about it is it's a very joyful, hopeful medium. And I think I like to write what I like to read. So being able to translate that is a great job. And I think, you know, I have a day job, and I don't think I would spend the time and effort writing something that wasn't exactly what I wanted to be doing.
Well, and I think too, it's what I really like about this genre as well is I think characters are really developed, right? And you also can really feel a connection in a lot of ways to a lot of these characters. I mean, I know a lot of these rom-coms, you know, folks are in like their late 20s, early 30s. I'm older than that, but it takes me back to when I was that age and kind of, you know, all of that angst and the process that you're going through to figure yourself out and you know, to find a partner and all of that. And I don't know, I just, I enjoy the genre. And you know, I think trying to destigmatize it is important because they're fun. They're great reads.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, they're, I think they're also, like, from a craft perspective, people should give them more credit because you're right. There's a ton of character work that goes into these stories because you have to develop not just one person on the page, right? You don't have one protagonist. You have, you know, in most cases, two, sometimes more than two, and you have to make them feel like fully fleshed people in order for the reader to buy into their love story. So if you think about how many narrative threads that you're weaving as a romance author, you've got, you know, protagonist one and their journey, protagonist two and their journey. You've got the romance plot. And often you also have sort of like external structural plot or conflict that you're dealing with. And that's more in a lot of cases than, you know, your average literary fiction novel or something. So yeah, not only do I think it gets stigmatized because people will say like, oh, that's high heat, that's smut, or, you know, use words that are going to degrade it in that way. But I think people just think they're easy to write. And I think there's a lot that other genre writers or readers can learn from reading romance and understanding all of the techniques that go into making people invested in a story where you inherently know the ending.
So before I let you go, what are you hoping folks take away from reading this latest book?
Yeah. I mean, I hope you have a delightful time. I think the emotional response that I'm seeking is always that sort of like kicking your feet. Like it feels like this is too much fun and someone should stop you is sort of the, I think the great output, but I think also just being, there's a big theme in this book because it is enemies to lovers. And part of what the characters discover is that actually being able to fall in love with your enemy and to have them fall for you is a very singular kind of gift because it's someone that's determined to see the worst in you who ultimately decides that you are lovable and that they want you to love yourself in return. So I think you can have the duality of something quite introspective with hopefully just like the external giggles as well.
Well, I want to thank you so much for the conversation. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, likewise. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.